Yeah, I mean, I just feel like he doesn't have the intelligence to realize that it's in his best interest to help, right, Perez. He needs a teammate on his side next year. If Ferrari, if Mercedes bring competitive packages, Max will not win by a country mile like he did this year.
Like, grow up, kid. Grow the fuck up. There's a time to pick your battles because Checo is in a battle with Leclerc for the championship. Sorry, for second in the championship. And Red Bull, you know, people are obviously, it's a season that hasn't had a lot of storylines, but like, one of the things that we've been told about constantly is how Red Bull have never had a 1-2 in the drivers' championship, right?
Absolutely.
So, like, this is something that they clearly want to achieve. Checo is battling Leclerc. In fact, because they actually swapped Max and Checo, so that they, with the intention that Max could go and
chase,
to chase Leclerc, and in so doing, take points of the Ferrari guys. Obviously, he couldn't achieve that because the Red Bull was a wheelbarrow this weekend. And it was just like, so he lets you through, right? So, like, give the place back.
This
is like, bro, honestly, the was, more I think about it.
And actually, I think it almost stole the focus of George's first win, because at the end of the race, I was obviously delighted with George, but I was more thinking like, oh my gosh, did Max really do that? And that was literally what I was thinking about. And then I couldn't wait to watch the interviews after to see, you know, what Christian Horner had to say, what Max had to say, what Sergio had to say.
What do you think about that? Like, in terms of what, how do I put this now? Like, you know, are Red Bull, like, are they media darlings, or do they actually dominate the media narrative? I mean, or is it just that George drove so brilliantly without a single? I mean, he handled two safety cars, two safety car restarts.
I think I think the answer is pretty simple. I think people love a little bit of a scandal, a little bit of juicy gossip. You can't resist it, right? And you know, if I was Max, I wouldn't have said anything on that radio, and I would have just cleared it all internally. But I think the message was so shocking, and I think anyone likes it. But you know, this is Drive to Survive's bread and butter. Like, this is going straight into that episode, and we're hopefully going to see the fallout about it. I don't think we'll get the internal meeting on video, because I don't believe Netflix was with Red Bull this weekend. But I think people can't resist that kind of stuff. Well, and it's any team, right? If there was something similar or akin in Mercedes or in any other team, I think it would have got the same amount of attention. But obviously, I would say the top three teams, so Ferrari, Red Bull, and Mercedes, I think there's that added element. I think anything within those three teams will naturally get a little bit more attention.
Yeah, it is scandalous. But I think, speaking of scandal, because we haven't actually on this podcast spoken about it. I haven't actually even introduced you, right? I forget. Are there going to be people who listen to this? Welcome and thank you for joining us on
thank
the pod.
You.
And I, we met on Clubhouse. Was it last year? Or was it the year before?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I suspect it was a COVID year. I think it was 2020.
And you know, we spend a lot of time on Clubhouse. That's actually really interesting how that platform really sort of fell apart. But nevertheless, you know, I always enjoyed your thoughts and your reflections on motorsport.
Likewise.
Formula One specifically. And Like my co-hosts, you know, you support Mercedes and Lewis, and Lewis Hamilton.
But I think that's what drew me to you, because you seem like a sensible Max and Red Bull fan, and they're not many of them.
Like, yeah, I seem like a sensible person, most people tell me, until they hear that I support Red Bull and Max Verstappen. You're very kind. So yeah, I had to at least introduce you, Shax, before we go too deep. But like I said, on this podcast, we've not really covered the cost cap stuff. And I would be, you know, at the risk of, I mean, it's been covered a million times over, but at the risk of doing that again, I mean, we've spoken about last year, we've spoken about Abu Dhabi and the emotions that it riled up. To hear that Red Bull had an overspend, no matter what the technicality is, whether you're going as high as £1.8 million or as low, inverted commas, as £400,000, it really riled up a lot of people, and rightfully so, I think. Yeah. How do you feel about that? And are you sort of happy or satisfied with the sanction that Red Bull got?
So I need to try and not be biased and try and imagine if it wasn't a team like Red Bull, if it was any other team, because naturally, if it was Red Bull, absolutely. I don't think the punishment was strong enough. You know, I think the championship was so close between Lewis and Max, right? They were, am I talking about the right year, right? The cost
of
the
race. Yeah, last year, 2021.
Exactly. So, you know, the last race, they were flat on points. It was that close. So I think every penny counts for me. If if Red Bull had not overspent, there might have been a chance that Max was, even if it's 1 point, or, you know, whatever the difference needs to be, maybe it's five points. Difference, and that would have had an effect on who won the drivers' championship, right? And Formula One is all about the finest of margins. It's all about the tiniest of tweaks, right? Which affects performance. And so I did think that, in my personal view, the no matter how much they overspent, I do think it would have had an impact on the championship. And I feel like even the punishment that they got isn't enough of a deterrent for other teams. What was it? Less wind tunnel time and a fine. I don't think.
That's quite great.
I personally, for me, I don't think it was harsh enough. But then I think about what could they have done that wasn't controversial, and that was probably the easiest way to go. I am of the view, whilst for many reasons, I don't think Max should have won last year, I don't think it's right to punish the driver for the team's mistake. So I don't think they should have docked points off Max. I think they should have docked points off Red Bull.
And also, and sorry, I'll let you finish and then I'll
say. I think that clears it up, and I think it wouldn't really have affected anything too much because Mercedes won the constructors anyway. But if we were in a position where Red Bull had won the constructors by the fewest of margins and the punishment was deduction of points, which would subsequently lead to them no longer being the championship constructors champions, then I think that would have been a fair outcome. And also the points deduction would have also been helpful, because if they deducted enough points, they may have become third rather than second, which would have meant that, you know, the money that they get would have been affected. And then I also think what would have been quite a nice touch, bit of a rogue one for me, but I think the fines that came from that Red Bull have to pay should go to the W Series.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good because, I've never thought about that, because the not having the final races of the W Series due to lack of funding, I think, is an absolute disgrace from the general motorsport community. the FIA especially. So the fine going to that would be amazing. Wow. I've actually, yeah, that's something I never thought of. But I, the only thing I would push back, and I do agree with everything that you actually said, because also, and also we speak so much about Verstappen, right? And if you wanted to hypothetically dock points, why wouldn't you dock points of Checo Perez, right? Again, like you can't sort of say because they were in a title fight, right? Then you've got to do a certain level of punishment. Because if hypothetically Ferrari overspend this year, right? They're not in the world championship battle on either front. What, you know, with the precedent that was set, you know, then you know, trying to shift or to actually shift their position in the championships might have been like really difficult to do. You know, docking off points and like do dock points off Charles Leclerc and stuff like that. I do agree that that wasn't the only thing that I would perhaps sort of push back on, or not even push back on, but I think that potentially the fine should have come out of future budget cap usage. So
absolutely.
Or rather, maybe not the fine itself, but if you've been deemed to overspend by £1.8 million, then they take you 1.8 have to underspend. Your
that's a really neat solution.
Really
neat. I like that.
I do think you know, the changing of points and docking of points and stuff would have been difficult. Again, I also agree that if there was docking of any points, it should be for the constructors. Because that's actually where the prize money is, right? Drivers don't get prize money. So if you want to hurt a team, then you, in my mind, are going to dock points off the world.
I really like that point. I think, if you're going to, it just creates consequence for the team, a real punishment for next year. And that will affect their performance, you know, for the following year. And I think it's enough of a deterrent to not overspend again. I really like that solution. I wish I thought of it.
I do think it is a deterrent though. Even this is the last point I'll make about this. Like, you can't prove it. That's the thing. But I'm pretty sure Mercedes, AMG do not want any less wind tunnel time than they could possibly get. I think teams would be terrified of reductions in wind tunnels and FTC.
Especially testing. With these new regs, I feel like there's a lot to learn. You know, teams like Mercedes especially still have a lot to understand with their new car. And so wind tunnel time is,
Although you have to say that the development job that they have done this year is genuinely quite astounding. Whether or not, if you're a hater like me, who believes that Brazil is more of an anomaly than, you know, for a couple of reasons, you know, they were competitive in the USA, though, you know, I think if Sainz doesn't crash out in the first lap, you know, he probably wins that race quite comfortably. They were certainly there and thereabouts in Mexico until Mercedes' strategy team decided to have a brain fart and put the guys on the wrong tires. So this is now the third week in a row where they have produced the goods. And kudos to Mercedes for not sort of resting on their laurels. They've had to dig deep. It was bad. I remember, you know, Lewis Hamilton getting out of the car at Baku, and he could barely barely stand because he was in so much pain from the bouncing.
I think it's the porpoising was just, even just watching it, it was painful.
I mean, it was so violent to the point where you just thought to yourself, what are we watching? Like, what sort of so-called elite motorsport? And, you know, like you said, George Russell, first win in Formula One, should have got one in Sakhir the other year, and then, you know, once again, I think, you know, Mercedes had a bit of a blunder. How have you felt about him and his role in helping Mercedes to get to where they are, because I'm asking that specifically because he is beating Hamilton in the Drivers' Championship. I think it's pretty much sealed mm-hmm. now that he will mm-hmm. Finish ahead of him. But, you know, we do know that Hamilton was doing the bulk of the testing at the beginning of the season. So how do you see George Russell specifically at the moment before we get on to Hamilton, but also Mercedes and how they've, like, developed this year?
Yeah, I'll start with George. Yeah, I think you've said it, really. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job this year. As I said, it's not quite right to compare him to Lewis, given sort of Lewis's development role. But he's driven incredibly, right? With or without comparing him to anyone else. You know, yes. Lots of podiums, obviously the win yesterday. He's also been exceptionally gracious and respectful to Toto, Mercedes and Lewis. You know, every time he has an interview, he's goaded by journalists, you know, Sky, always saying, oh, you've beat Lewis, you know, you've got more points than Lewis, you're better than Lewis. And he's had some incredible PR training, or he's just so respectful. He never says, you know, he always says, oh, no, Lewis has been focused on developing the car, or no, Lewis drove a brilliant race, I was just a bit lucky. And there are some times where he's just driven better. For example, Brazil, at the end of the race, I was expecting Lewis to close in on George and to really give George a run for his money at the end. Lewis didn't even get within 1 second DRS range of George at the end of that race.
Managed that brilliantly. Yeah. He managed that.
So,
and again, both the safety car restarts as well, you know, that's always potential tricky, especially because there's the long back straight there at Brazil. Yeah. If you don't get that right, and Hamilton was right behind him both times.
And I generally feel like if it was anyone else in that car, Lewis would have hunted him down. George has ticked all the boxes for me this year. Eventually when Lewis retires, I hate thinking about it, but he will at some point. I'm really looking forward to supporting George, and he will be my favorite driver when Lewis retires, I think.
Yeah, no, but Lewis doesn't look like he's going to retire anytime soon. He's talking about multi-year contracts with Toto.
Let's see. I think with Lewis, once the car is not competitive, if it's not competitive next year or the year after, like, I'm not sure, but let's see.
Yeah, I hear you, but I do think it will be. It will get to the point where it is going to be competitive, whether or not it's world championship winning. You know, obviously that's a different sort of kettle of fish all in all. But I mean, for him, we can't talk about Hamilton and his race yesterday without talking about the incident with Max. Isn't it so crazy that, like, we spent, like, all this time talking, like, about Max, and it was, you know, the post-race stuff and not letting his teammate through, and we hadn't even touched on the fact that I think for the first time in 2022, Max and Lewis really come together, fighting. Max, after the race, I've seen some people on Twitter saying that this was Max admitting that they were going to crash, and I didn't quite see it like that, but basically he said, because it's two turns, right? But it's one sequence. And he says once he saw that Lewis was not willing to give him space, squeezed him at turn one, he knew that Lewis wasn't going to give him space at turn two. But he was just like, oh, well, then if he doesn't give me space, then, we'll crash.
Yeah, you summarize it perfectly.
People are
so for me, that is, again, I feel like Max races every other driver on the grid different to Lewis. Max and Lewis cannot drive side by side. Anytime they do, I have a heart attack. I'm so stressed. Yeah. Anytime they're just near each other, I get stressed, because for Lewis, it's a lose-lose situation. He either gives Max space and loses his place on the grid, or he doesn't and he DNFs or crashes and then his race is ruined, you know? And so what do you do if you're Lewis? It's just a lose-lose. You basically just, I think the answer is you give him space and then just hope you can come back on Max in the end of the race. And actually, I think with Brazil, he should have given Max space more than in other tracks because clearly the Mercedes was very competitive. You've got Brazil, which is a race where you can, which is a track that you can overtake fairly easily. And I think Lewis would have been able to have overtaken Max at a better time, you know, on the very first straight with some DRS. There are other tracks though where that decision isn't as easy, right? In Monaco, what do you do there?
Yeah, 100%, 101%.
But I think, with Max, I just don't. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I just think what he said about racing Lewis and seeing that he was not going to get any space and still did it. It's just, and the fact that he's happy to just own up to that in an interview. Just shows you his character, I think.
Yeah, he was in a weird sort of space like this whole, because they actually had a pretty decent battle in the sprint, right, where they were very respectful towards one another. So, you know, I would really have hoped that, like, 2021 happens and you just draw a line under the sand and it's like, okay, that happened. There were some nasty incidents. But you just don't want to go there. You don't want the sports to go there. I was exhausted. I think I told you many times. I am a fan. I was exhausted in 2021, right? I can't imagine what it must have been like for those guys.
For the drivers, and the people involved. Yeah.
So you would think to yourself, you would just, you know, that's it. And like I said, they had a pretty decent battle in the sprint race, and Lewis won out. So I thought, okay, no, that's fine. And so for Max to do that, but equally, you know, like with the caveat that I think he's actually right. I think that Hamilton did need to give him space.
Really? I feel like the very first corner, Max got ahead.
Yes.
Right. But then as we approach the second corner, Lewis's car was ahead. So why should he give Max space?
Because he was sufficiently alongside, right?
And he wasn't, but he was ahead.
No, he was along, but he was sufficiently alongside is not to say that he's ahead, but you're entitled to room, right? If, you know, and the definition now of where sufficiently alongside is, because Max's sort of front tire was sort of adjacent to Lewis's axle, and pretty much, right? So yes, okay. Hamilton's ahead by there, but I think Verstappen is alongside enough to warrant being given more room to go on the inside.
But then I agree with you there, but then you're basically saying that in any corner you can shove your car down the inside. Like, where do you run?
And it is tricky because this is also how the regulations have been written for 2022. And going forward, I think the FIA is a little bit confused. And also, you know, because Max ends up getting a penalty, right, for that 5-second time penalty. I think sometimes things can just be a racing incident and you just let it go. In the same way that I think Silverstone last year was a racing incident. That's what I tweeted at the time. But then maybe I am slightly more or less averse to like crashes than other people. Maybe I need to assess that with myself. But anyway, the point that I was fundamentally making is that I think Max is right that he was entitled to be there, but like it says so much about his state of mind that he knew he wasn't going to get the space. And, you know, he had the long turn four coming up behind after that. And the Red Bulls got the straight lines speed advantage over the Mercedes, so why doesn't he just wait for turn four and get DRS? And anyway, whatever, like I could go on forever about that. So, you know,
before we just move on, the other thing is Max has won, right? He has nothing to lose by diving in, and he also knows that Mercedes is super competitive, and this could have been Lewis's first race that he'd won this year, and obviously to maintain that record of a race win in every year. And so again, I just thought Max, again, I'm just kind of guessing, but for me, it felt like Max, you know, he had nothing to lose, and a tiny bit. I just feel like he had nothing to lose, right? Like, whereas Lewis did.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it there.
No, I get it. But I mean, you know, we started this because we were talking about Hamilton, because he drops down to P8.
Yeah.
Somehow, have you noticed how that Mercedes seems close to indestructible? Hamilton's had a number of incidents this year, particularly with Kevin Magnussen, and I think especially in Spain, right, where I think he dropped to last on the grid, I think. Mm-hmm. And not just dropping last, but you've got a literally damaged car, or a car that in that accident you would expect to be severely damaged, and the Mercedes just carries on. Like,
very resilient. Like
it's ridiculous. I mean, Max had, you know, front wing damage and all this sort of stuff. Like, you know, went to the pits, got a new front wing on. Hamilton just carried on about his own business and, like you said, pulled up.
So I have a funny theory about that, specifically because in Brazil, I feel like his fans had some prayer meetings. You know, all those Brazilian fans. They brought the energy, and they brought that the prayers from God.
Yeah, no, that's 100% it. You're on Twitter, aren't you? I think you.
Yeah, I am.
You just lurk mostly.
I'm just. I don't even have my full name on Twitter, so it's just ES something.
Yeah, so I remember last year, of course, the prayer spaces, and then he had that magical weekend with the sprints and winning from 10th on race day type thing. And I think there were prayer spaces again this weekend.
Exactly, same vibes.
Yeah, they did their juju, because I don't understand how the W13 can be in so many incidents and nothing ever happens. It never retires, like nothing. They just keep going. It's absolutely mesmerizing. And, you know, and fair enough, and fair play to Mercedes again. First win of the year, thoroughly deserved. And after the travails of, you know, everything that's happened this year, the emotional toll of the end of last year, I can't. I'm not even me. I'm a hater by nature, but like even I can't hate. But somewhat to speak again about the race, you can't not speak about this weekend. And like possibly my favorite pole of all time, bloody Kevin Magnussen is a pole sitter.
Yeah, that feels like ages ago now, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, did you watch the sprint? Did you watch qualifying on Friday evening?
I didn't watch it on the Friday. I watched it on Saturday morning. Great for Kevin. I think one thing is he truly deserved it, because they were the very first car to get back out, onto the grid in Q3. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were cars around him who were also setting laps, and he set the fastest time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there was an element of luck, but you make your own luck. I think it was thoroughly deserved, and it was nice to see them pinch a point. So I think Kevin started in pole, but he eventually got eighth place. It's nice that he didn't drift into ninth, and he got the one point they needed. And you'll need to remind me, but I don't believe AlphaTauri scored points this weekend.
Yeah, Yuki Tsunoda had the disaster under the safety car with unlapped cars again, FIA, but it wasn't FIA's fault this time, to be fair. Pierre Gasly, I cannot tell you off the top of my head where he finished, but he finished 14th. Yeah, so no points.
All in all, a win for Haas this weekend. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, obviously he'd be disappointed to not finish the race at all yesterday, because... Was he involved with the terrorism from Daniel Ricciardo? Was that Was that?
I think that was it. I think Daniel Ricciardo just clipped his car, and then he spun, and then
It was like that, one of the most.
Daniel Ricciardo's just having a shocker because it was clearly his fault when I watched the replay.
Yeah, 100%.
And actually, again with Daniel, there's so much to dissect. But even sorry to digress, but like,
yeah,
you know, with Daniel Ricciardo, he needs a good end to the season so that people remember him if he has any intention of going back onto the grid. And so these last few races are super important to keep, you know, a good impression in everyone's minds. And that was just such a rookie error. Like, really? I mean, and especially with, you know, McLaren's fight with Alpine in these very few races, it's crucial that Daniel Ricciardo contributes, because he hasn't, let's be brutal, he has not contributed to the team's points this year. It's been pretty much all Lando. So he's got a crucial role to make sure that both cars are in the points. And then he goes and makes that sort of mistake. I mean, just keep the car on the track.
Dude, I mean, I couldn't have framed it any better. Like, you want to get a seat in 2024, right? And he drove brilliantly in Mexico, right? Which is actually one of the few. But then he also did terrorism in Mexico too. Now that I think about it, but he still managed to finish that race, I think 7th. So I don't understand where those sorts of moves come from. It's border. It's not even desperation. That's just plain stupidity. And you wonder. You really wonder about his state of mind. I think Abu Dhabi's next week is the last time we're going to see him race in Formula One. I don't see him getting a seat back. Although there are some very strong, and I've heard this in the background through one or two people in the paddock. It's very likely that he's going to be Red Bull's reserve driver.
That's a new one for me. I didn't know that, because obviously the mainstream rumors have been Mercedes, but I mean, Red Bull's a nice glove, you know, back to the team where he started. And, you know, when you hear Christian Horner talk about him, you know, in interviews, he's always only had good words for Ricciardo. So it makes sense. And I know Max and Ricciardo now have a decent relationship. You know, I always see little clips of them having conversations in the paddock. So I feel like they've mended whatever rift they had when they were teammates. So yeah, that feels like a very natural fit, actually. I wouldn't be surprised if that did come into fruition.
In the weird world where Checo Perez isn't a Red Bull driver in 24, Daniel taking that seat again would make the most sense. And also, the Red Bull just makes sense for him style-wise. I think he's battled with the style of the cars that he's had, Alpine or Renault then, and McLaren. You know, it would work.
It would work. And it's very full circle, you know, back to where he started. It just shows you that he should have never have left. But there we go.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it is what it, I think, you know, I think I've said this to you many times. If Daniel Ricciardo is in last year's 2021 Red Bull, I think he is fighting for the championship with Lewis and Max. And I think that Red Bull end up winning the Constructors. I do think he would fall off, because I do believe that Max and Lewis are operating on another level. But he would have tried to get a better job than Checo last year, because Checo had that one stinking run of form. I've spoken about that many times, so I don't want to rehash that. But there's an interesting sort of rumor that is really bubbling in the last few days, or they're two, but they're related. There's a lot of word that Ferrari are seriously considering letting go of Mattia Binotto.
But one of the stated reasons,
besides the underperformance of the team, is that apparently his relationship with Charles Leclerc has broken down due to this lack of him being like the first driver or clearly defined roles, which segues also nicely to something that I was reading last week which is also seems to be simmering, which is that apparently Toto Wolff is very, very keen on seeing if he can snipe Leclerc away from Ferrari. Like, what? Yeah, I know, right? Right.
I mean, keep going.
How would you? What would your reactions to that sort of thing be? To Charles perhaps, but not also leave Ferrari.
I feel like if you're a team principal and you need a driver, Leclerc feels like he's a good fit. Someone like me, I wouldn't want to hire Max because he's not a team player. I can't have someone who's only me. I need, whilst you're an incredible driver, I need someone like Leclerc. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But I just feel like they will never get rid of Lewis, you know. If Lewis wants to stay in the sport, I don't see them getting rid of Lewis, and George is doing a good job. So where would he fit? I think this would only work if there was a situation where either Lewis just retired, just said he's done, or I don't know where George goes, but maybe Mercedes isn't title winning and then he goes to like McLaren, some other team. But I just don't see with the Mercedes current driver lineup. By the way, I genuinely think it's the best pairing we've seen on the grid, even though the car hasn't been there. I think these two drivers are the best pairing. Where will Leclerc fit? I think it's as simple as that, right?
Yeah, no, you're quite right. And I've always thought to myself that if it was something, because you've always got to have contingencies. I think Mercedes were quite, they were caught off guard by Rosberg's sudden retirement. And then they end up having to take Valtteri Bottas from Williams and paying large sums of money, etc. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Toto Wolff has always learned from mistakes. He also learned from the toxicity of the Rosberg Hamilton relationship. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's always going to get people who are, in terms of character, more sort of aligned. So it may well be just that, you know, Toto's keeping his options open. If Hamilton does decide that, you know what, actually I've had enough.
Which could happen, right? Like,
yeah. Lewis say is something. He's an enigma. You just never quite know, because it was not that long ago when he was mocking, he wasn't mocking Fernando Alonso, but he was making an example. He's just like, I'm not going to be like Fernando racing into my 40s. He's 38. Exactly. Now. Talking about assigning a multi-year contract.
Wait, is he 38? Shit, yeah. I thought it was like 36.
He's looking good as well, eh? He's looking good.
Yeah, he does look good.
Like loads older than me. Like, look at the state of me. But I agree with that. But you know, but Matteo Binotto leaving Ferrari.
Oh yeah, Matteo.
That would be.
Yeah, I think for me, you can justify one or two strategy mistakes, but it's consistent. It's every race. It's got to the point where now I'm always a fan, especially when it comes to football, of believing in the manager. I feel like in football, we're too quick to say, sack the manager. I feel like in this sort of Ferrari F1 situation, we've had too many mistakes. Every race, there's some sort of strategy issue. And you can only now, you have to point the finger at the boss. It's just been too many times. It's consistent mistakes. And I feel like Binotto is responsible. And when I mean responsible, obviously it's not him making these strategy decisions, but he needs to appoint the right team, right? He should have fired all these people and started a brand new strategic team. So he's clearly not, you know, someone like Christian Horner or Toto justifying these mistakes, as in like allowing these to. I mean, you can make the mistake once, maybe even twice, but four or five times. Are you insane? Like, what's the actual, like? And then on top of that, Toto and Christian, they always own up to their mistakes in interviews. They'll, you know, Christian will say, yeah, yeah, we dropped the ball on this. Or Toto will say, we need to do this better. They asked Binotto and he's like, no, I don't think anything was wrong. You know, this is just how Ferrari operates. And it's just like, are you insane? Like, you need to acknowledge you made a mistake and you fucked up. And he's on cloud 9. I don't know what cloud he's at. Maybe cloud 10, 11. I don't even know. But the guy needs to go, definitely. He's just incompetent.
It's so sad.
I mean, for a team like Ferrari to be making, to be acting like they're Alfa Romeo, I mean, I just, it's bad. And if I was Charles, I mean, Charles, I'm not saying Charles should have won, but there should be minimal points between Max and Charles. They should have been fighting it out until the very end, and we didn't. We were robbed of that, even as fans, right? I mean, this season has been so boring.
Absolutely, no, you nailed it, like, to absolutely. And Charles Leclerc has shown us, you know, how fast he can be, and so many races were ruined. You know, or rather, the potential of a proper championship fight was ruined.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that Max won the championship in Japan. Japan was ages ago. You know, it feels like it was ages ago. Honestly, like, yeah, no, it's not acceptable.
And it's like, for me, it's like we've, not me personally, but for the people who've been sick of Lewis Hamilton winning all this time and, oh, yeah, the sport's really boring, they want something new. Ironically, we got something new this year, and it was more boring than when Hamilton was winning all these years. I mean, Max has won more races in a season than Lewis has ever.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. I think, yeah, the fact that he's won 14 races, it's not on. It's not on. I mean, obviously, I'm a Red Bull person, so I'm just like, yep, cool, you know, do your thing.
Exactly. But,
like, there are races where even where I can concede, it's just like, you know, I think we're fine. But any... it's interesting. Oh, just a quick side note. There's a really cool video of Valtteri. Valtteri was behind Zhou Guanyu, who was in turn fighting Nicholas Latifi. And I'll see if I can find the clip on you. And then on his onboard, he tells his engineer, he says, tell Zhou that Latifi is braking really early into turn 10. That's where he's going to get him. And I thought to myself, Valtteri Bottas, you are so cool. Like, in the same weekend where you got this whole thing about Max, you know, not letting Checo through, and, you know, and then there's a guy who's watching his teammate in front of him and being like, oh, I can see where you're not, why you're not passing him. And to tell his engineer, and his engineer was like, Roger that or whatever, you know.
Oh, I missed that.
He was just like, I don't think it came through in the live feed. I only saw it on Twitter. And I just thought, Valtteri, you're very, very cool. And, I don't know.
Yeah, great team player. Really conscious about what's going on around him in the car. And I think he drove a strong race, right? I think
he did. The Alphas were pretty strong this weekend, which is good because they've been on a little bit of a downward spiral. But the last thing, Eni, and thank you for your time. You're like, I love these chats, and we don't do them enough anymore. We should revive.
I know.
We should revive Clubhouse. I'd be keen on your thoughts on it's the last topic, but it's the last race for two drivers now coming up. With three drivers, but we've spoken about Ricciardo, Sebastian Vettel, Nicholas Latifi. Will also be leaving the sport at Abu Dhabi. Nicholas Latifi, I guess, doesn't really leave much of a legacy, but how...
He's left a legacy. Ruined Lewis's championship anyway.
I forgot about that. Go Tifi, because he's the reason the safety car came out. But especially Seb Vettel. I'm interested in your thoughts. I don't ever remember us actually talking about Seb, and you know, he's had a great character arc. He was the pantomime villain when he was at Red Bull, and maybe that says something about Red Bull and what they bring out of their people. goes to Ferrari to try and win a championship for them, you know, where his hero was driving, doesn't quite work out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of his career, he's doing all this philanthropy stuff. Some people think it's performative. I don't know what you think about that. But he seems to be, to me, to be an all-round nice guy, mm-hmm. who, of course, has had a glittering career, the third most race wins of any driver in Formula One history.
Yeah.
How do you think about Seb? How do you...
I'm a big fan of Seb. He's really mellowed out. And as you said, he's had a really good character arc. And I feel like with Vettel leaving, it's just a bit scary. Like Formula One is changing and the young guns are coming in and we're losing, you know, those eras of that era of drivers. But yeah, I'm a big Vettel fan. You know, I feel like people forget he's won 5 world championships. I mean, you know, F1 is such a cool sport. You're only as good as your last race. And I feel like his last year in Ferrari really dented his reputation. But I think that car was super hard to drive and was super uncompetitive. You know, you only have to see how Vettel has performed versus Stroll in terms of points that they've both got and sort of the race, you know, the way that Vettel's been driving versus Stroll, which to show you how good Vettel is still. I actually don't think from a performance level he was ready to retire. I think he did have another maybe 1 to 2 years in him, but clearly, you know, he just wants to be with his kids and has realised that there's other things outside of F1. But yeah, sad to see Vettel go.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm very, I remember when he announced his retirement, because he created an Instagram account, actually.
To announce he did? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, to announce the retirement. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the only post that's there. I don't know. I've never really noticed it. You know, and like you said, it is really, really sad. I saw a picture, I think it was of the 2007 grid, and after he announced his retirement, and now obviously Hamilton's the only one left there.
Alonso.
Yes, of course. Yeah, how did I miss that? Because last year it would have been Kimi, Vettel.
Yeah.
But now those.
But you know what? Saying that, whilst it's sad that Vettel's going out, the one good thing to come out of Vettel retiring is Nick De Vries getting a seat. I think that was a really nice touch, and he deserved it after being out of the sport for so long. That's the one good thing that was to come out of it.
Yeah, Nick De Vries. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, but you know, for him to end up at Red Bull as well was like an interesting little.
Oh, that really annoyed me actually. Not from Nick's point of view, because Nick needs a seat. It doesn't matter who gives him the seat, and he'll take the best team.
Yeah.
But this is it. Also, it shed a light on Mercedes' problem of not having a junior team. Right? They've developed this talent. Yeah. And they've lost this talent to their arch rival on the grid.
Yeah,
that's bad.
When you frame it like that, I was actually having a conversation just yesterday. There'll be people who perhaps don't know this, but Niki Lauda tried to sign Verstappen twice, right? And the first time. The first time he tried to sign Verstappen was in the year 2014, but for 2015. The swing factor for Verstappen
was the junior team and the senior team.
So Red Bull could offer him a seat in Formula One
sooner,
even if it was at AlphaTauri. They had Rosberg and Hamilton, and Niki Lauda.
That's the big marketing tool. That's why Red Bull get they have these four seats, right?
You're quite right.
And Mercedes, they used to have Williams, but they seem to be losing now that Claire's gone. They've kind of lost that seat in Williams, and it's not really a given for the Mercedes team. So they just don't. How do they develop talent, right? Because George, I mean, whilst he spent 3 years at Williams, that was good character building for George. Yeah. That was a good training camp. and, you know, risking a whole year of having an untested driver in the seat when you're a competitive team. So it's not like McLaren, right? Where McLaren weren't that good, whatever, just get Lando in. Like, to waste a whole season on untested talent, it's a serious flaw, and I don't know how Mercedes are going to fix it. They need to get Williams on board to train one of their juniors. Otherwise, it's, I don't know what they're going to do.
That's really interesting. I've never actually thought about it like in such like granular detail.
Ideally, they should have had Nick De Vries in a Williams as soon as George got promoted.
Yes, you're quite right. You're quite right. And yeah, and again, you get another Red Bull driver, or former Red Bull driver, Alex Albon, ends up getting the seat. Which is ridiculous. Interesting. Yeah, no, you're quite right. I've never thought about it like that. But we will see where the sport goes. Hopefully, you know, there'll be one more team on the grid by 2026, although it's looking less likely now.
Looking Audi, right? Oh, yeah, no, so yeah, Audi, you're right. Audi, no, but Audi are replacing Alfa Romeo.
They're basically just going to buy Sauber.
That's true. But there's something about having 10 teams and not 11. I mean, 11 sounds weird. 11 sounds off. I can't have that. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah, 22 drivers. Yeah, win, lost. 2017, we had 11 teams, didn't we? And there was also and all those guys. Anyway, now I'm properly getting sidetracked. But speaking of managers, I had to ask, what are your thoughts on Antonio Conte? Right, he's surely got to leave Spurs. Surely, I know this is completely left field, but when you're talking about,
what do you mean? Why has he got to leave? I feel like
Antonio Conte at Tottenham Hotspurs.
Yeah, why would he have to leave?
You're okay with him. Like, Spurs, like...
Just I feel like... Bad. We're not great, but I don't think it's Conte's fault. I think... I don't think we have the players. Let me explain. So, with the sharp end, so with the strikers... If Harry Kane is not on form, or Heung-min Son is injured, Richarlison was also injured for a while, we have no one. So we don't have the depth of a good bench.
Okay.
Our midfield is our biggest weakness. Apart from Højbjerg, we just don't have, you know, someone like a Kevin De Bruyne
create magic out of nothing.
And so we're a team of, you know, Harry Kane has to rely on really bad midfielders, right, to give him the ball. So Harry's doing what he can, but he needs more magic. I think we need to up the budget. I think we need to get better players. I feel like there is no one better than Conte right now. That is my view.
Okay, that's really interesting.
People like Conte. I feel like, honestly, Tottenham fans are grateful that he's with us. In fact, we're begging him not to leave. Like, we think he's going to leave because he's just sick of Tottenham.
Which he could very well be, right? And Daniel Levy's,
he's a tough one to work with. Yeah.
Okay, wow. That's taken me by surprise. So you really do believe in back the manager. I thought it was just like a... I don't watch Spurs
Who are we going to take? No. Definitely Conte is the right guy for us. I think
so. Would you not have a reunion with good old Pochettino?
Don't get me wrong. Poch did an amazing thing for us. But no, I think we've just got to keep on going with Conte.
Yeah, for sure. No, I get it. I think that's really, really cool notes to end. And we've been going for about an hour. So I don't want to take up too much of your time. Annie, thank you for joining.
Thank you.
We'd love to actually have you back on. Like, I think we've got a few episodes in the off season. We'll have a chat with a couple of people, sort of maybe debrief the season. So we'd love to chat to you again. And thank you for just being so generous. And like, you've made so many things that you said, I was just like, I've never thought about it like that. So it's always...
Thank you so much for having me on. Really, really enjoyed it, and hope to jump on another one also.